Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is reportedly planning to resign, but there are differing reports on when that might happen. House committees may hold hearings on a Medicare for All health care system, and President Trump addressed the nation last night to make the case for funding a border wall.
The president claimed illegal immigration was causing a humanitarian crisis at the southern border and that a wall is needed to protect Americans. He also blamed Democrats for the ongoing government shutdown.
Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis, and they have refused to provide our brave border agents with the tools they desperately need to protect our families and our nation. The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security.
And our question for you this week, what did you make of President Trump's address and the Democratic response? Do you think a border wall is worth keeping parts of the government shut down? Should the president sign bills to fund the government and deal with border security later on? What kind of compromise, if any, would you like to see between Congress and the White House? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org.
Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill covering House leadership. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, President Trump, as we heard, putting the blame for the shutdown on Democrats. It's complicated by him in a televised statement talking with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi not too long ago saying if a shutdown happened, he would own it. He would take responsibility for it. But we have this blame game going on.
Well, that's right. And we have this new development where the president just hosted Chuck and Nancy, as he likes to call them, at the White House just within the last hour, and posed a question to Nancy Pelosi saying, are you going to be with me on the border wall or not? And Nancy Pelosi said, no, I'm not. And the president said, bye-bye, and walked out of the meeting. Quite a development. It just goes to show sort of where these negotiations stand. There's been a lot of activity, but not really any sort of movement in terms of the two sides coming closer together to get a deal to reopen 25% of the government that's currently shut down. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot of sort of shuttle diplomacy. The vice president was on Capitol Hill yesterday, meeting with fellow Republicans. Trump came to the Capitol today to urge Senate Republicans to stand firm and stand with him. But really, we're in the exact same position as we were 19 days ago when the shutdown kicked off, and not really much movement has happened.
And we heard a bit of President Trump speaking last night. Let's give a listen now. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer gave a response last night after the speech. Here's a bit of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
On the very first day of this Congress, House Democrats passed Senate Republican legislation to reopen government and fund smart, effective border security solutions. But the president is rejecting these bipartisan bills, which would reopen government, over his obsession with forcing American taxpayers to waste billions of dollars on an expensive and ineffective wall, a wall he always promised Mexico would pay for.
And you wrote, Scott, about the House Democrat approach to funding bills. What kind of things are they passing right now?
So right now, actually, as we speak, the House is voting on one of the appropriation bills that would help reopen financial services agencies. For people at home, that would be agencies like the IRS, which will be providing tax returns fairly soon. And so Democrats have argued unless the IRS is reopened, some tax refunds may be delayed. And obviously that would be a big impact on Americans' bottom line. Heading into tax season. So this week, House Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi are bringing up one by one individual funding bills to help reopen some of these federal agencies. They want to really underscore the impact of the closures of these federal agencies, and they want to put additional pressure on Republicans, not only in the House, but especially those vulnerable Republicans in the Senate who will be up for re-election in 2020, as well as additional pressure on the president himself. And it seems to be working. This strategy of of constantly passing these sort of clean funding bills that don't have President Trump's border wall attached, because you're starting to see cracks in this Republican unified wall. People like Cory Gardner of Colorado saying that he doesn't support the current shutdown and the president's shutdown strategy. Even in this lunch today with Senate Republicans, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine challenged the president and urged him to reopen the government because of the impact on federal workers and everyday Americans. So we're starting to see some cracks show in this Republican unification.
Talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national news this week. We invited your calls on the shutdown and border security, dueling speeches from the president and Democratic leaders from Congress. Alice joins us now in Sheboygan. Alice, hi, what do you think?
Hi. I happened to listen to an interview with Border Patrol on the news, and the gentleman that answered the phone, I was thrilled to hear what they had to say. I said, they're the boots on the ground, and they say the problem isn't more structure. The problem is more people doing what they're doing, meeting these people, talking to them. The human contact is what works best, and they're not asking for more structure. And then I am also concerned with friends who are waiting for paychecks, and the instability in families that this president is causing.
Alice, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, some of the criticism of the idea of building a wall has been along the lines of what Alice has been talking about, making the case that, hey, maybe it's more personnel here, maybe it's more screening technology there, and that might be money better spent, is one of the arguments against spending money on the wall, right?
Well, you have heard the president sort of back off this idea of a concrete wall. He's talked about a steel slat fence at some point. Some of his allies, including Mark Meadows, the conservative congressman, have today talked about maybe in some parts of the border it's drone surveillance, so it'd be not necessarily a wall, but a series of drones that would monitor the border. And so it does seem that Trump and his closest allies are backing off this idea of the wall that they had talked so fervently about during the 2016 campaign, and that's probably a sign that Democrats have a much stronger negotiating position at the moment.
Thanks for the call, Alice. We'll go now to Mary Lisa in Green Bay. Mary Lisa, hi.
Hi. Hey, this is, I really liked what your last caller had to say, and I appreciate some information about what is truly needed. I'm absolutely infuriated that the President of the United States is holding the United States of America and 800,000 of its workers and all the people that are connected to them hostage. The man is holding our country hostage. He's negotiating like we've all been kidnapped, and this is his position, and this is what we have to do. And just because, our politicians have had to negotiate and let go of their campaign promises since the founding fathers.
Mary Lisa, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, are people in Congress raising the concerns about federal workers either being off the job or being on the job without pay?
Well, I think the members of Congress who have a significant number of federal workers in their district certainly are. I think a key date to look forward to will be this Friday, when it's actually payday for federal workers. And this will be the first time that the federal workers in this shutdown will not have received a paycheck. And so think about, families, 800,000 federal workers and their families not receiving a paycheck on Friday. If their mortgage is due the following week, that puts them in an incredibly difficult position, barring them having a large amount of savings in the bank. And so I think we're going to, TSA agents who are now working across the country in airports without any pay, there's talk about whether they might walk off the job or have hundreds more members call in sick which would really strain the airlines and create havoc at airports around the country, which is needed, obviously, to ensure business runs smoothly throughout the United States. And so these are some of the things that we're watching and we're thinking about. Friday will be a key date.
Let's take one more call on this before we move on to other issues. Tom is with us in Port Wing. Tom, hi there.
Hello there. I just wanted to comment on the rebuttal by Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer. They looked absolutely horrible. It was, if I was a staffer for either one of them and I put them in front of that podium together like that, I would be fearing for my job today. It was the most awful optics you could ever imagine.
Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, Scott, the president has an Oval Office as a natural setting. I think there's probably bipartisan consensus that it did, the two people at the podium looked a little awkward.
Oh, yeah, it was derided on Twitter and social media. It was not the best format for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I think their message was fine, but people were mocking them on social media, and therefore it took a little bit away from their message.
Tom, thanks for the call. We're talking to Scott Wong from The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. We'll move on to some other issues coming up here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Darrell Conner.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our conversation with Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, digging into the week's news in national politics. Now it's the other stuff that isn't border security and the shutdown. Scott, this got kind of, you know, covered up by all this other news, this filing by Paul Manafort. He was for a while President Trump's then campaign manager. His lawyers made a filing. They didn't appropriately redact some information. And now we're seeing that Paul Manafort, while he was a campaign chair for Donald Trump, candidate Trump, shared polling information from the campaign with people connected to apparently Russian intelligence. Is this something that people are seeing as a big deal in the ongoing Russian investigation?
Yeah, I think for the people who have been following this case closely, they are saying it's a pretty significant development that Paul Manafort, who was Trump's campaign chairman, met with this operative, Konstantin Kilimnik, while he was serving in the Trump campaign. And that's significant because Manafort originally had been under scrutiny for tax evasion charges and other offenses before he had joined the Trump campaign, well before, many years before he had joined the campaign. And so now it's clear that Robert Mueller is also zeroing in on some of the activity that Manafort was involved in during his tenure as campaign chairman.
Now, on a related story, Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General, he has been overseeing the Mueller probe for quite a while now, talking about resigning. According to reports, I'm hearing next month. I'm hearing no, not until the Mueller probe is done, which is who knows how long. What kind of reports are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing all of those reports. Nobody really knows the exact date when he will be gone. But he is seen as somebody who is an ally of Robert Mueller, who believes that Robert Mueller's investigation should be completed, despite what the president and the president's allies say. And so I think a lot of people believe it's important for him to remain in place, until we see what Robert Mueller has discovered and what his report might include. And I'm talking to a lot of, Hill lawmakers, and they believe that the Mueller report will be out, within the next month or two. And so they believe it's just around the corner. I think it's pretty safe to say that the Mueller report will come out and, everyone will be able to read it and understand its findings. And so there's not too much concern that Rosenstein leaving would, derail that effort in any way. But he is definitely seen as somebody who believes that Mueller's investigation should be completed and not impeded by the president.
Talking to Scott Wong from The Hill. He covers congressional leadership there. We're talking about some of the top stories in national news this week. Let's get back into Congress now. House Democratic leaders, the House Rules and Budget Committees, could be holding hearings on the idea of a Medicare for All healthcare system? This is hearings, this is not votes, but what kind of things are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's right. One of the progressive leaders in Congress, Pramila Jayapal of Washington State, announced this week that she had secured support from Nancy Pelosi to get some hearings on Medicare for All in both of the committees that you mentioned, rules and budget. And basically what that means is this issue, will get full hearings. It will be explored. It will be debated, something that has not happened in a decade in Congress, especially under Republican rule. And so it's just another example of how drastically the House has shifted with Democrats taking control of the lower chamber this year, going from, hearings on, Fast and Furious and Obamacare repeal, and all of a sudden they've announced hearings on Medicare for All. And I think this is going to be, this is going to play into the presidential Democratic primary that we're already seeing taking shape. When you have a lot of these candidates who are championing, this effort of universal health care, people like Bernie Sanders, of course, and Elizabeth Warren, who's already entered the race, and perhaps Beto O'Rourke. And so this will just draw more attention and provide for more debate on the issue of single-payer health care.
And this is something where, okay, a Republican Senate probably isn't going to vote for a Medicare for All plan. A Republican president probably wouldn't sign it even if they did. But it speaks to, as you were kind of pointing to there, the role of control of the House as kind of a bully pulpit to be able to take agenda items and get them out there in the public eye.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we're not expecting, we're not on the cusp of passage of Medicare for All, but Democrats will be able to say, well, this is what we stand for. However, I will point out that just because you hold hearings doesn't mean it's going to make it even to the floor of the House of Representatives. In fact, some of the health care reporters I was talking to today said it likely will not get a vote in the full House of Representatives. But that's not to say that, progressives who really hold a lot of the power in the Democratic Party won't be putting this issue front and center.
And another kind of message issue, Democrats, their first bill they rolled out in the House of Representatives, this package of bills aimed at cracking down what they're saying is political corruption, looking at things like campaign finance, presidential tax returns, and more. Spell out for us some of the high points or the main points of this package of legislation.
Yeah, it's really, Democrats' own version of drain the swamp. It was their first bill out of the gate, and the one that jumped out at me was really aimed at President Trump. It would require both the president and the vice president to disclose their finances and tax returns going back for a decade, something that President Trump had refused to do during the campaign and even as president. And so, Democrats believe that they won the House of Representatives back this past cycle by touting this message of anti-corruption, and so they're putting their money where their mouth is and bringing forward this sweeping package, government reform package.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, has he responded to this package?
No, like most bills that will be passed by the Democratic House, you would expect a lot of them just to be ignored by the Republican-controlled Senate. People are saying there may be a couple areas where they can find bipartisan support and allow something to reach the president's desk. Things like, we've talked in the past, reducing prescription drug prices or infrastructure. But I will say that given where we are with the current shutdown fight, with both sides so dug in, the longer this shutdown fight lasts, and Trump has even threatened to make it last for months or years, the less time there will be for any sort of bipartisan action. And, it continues to engender bad will between the two parties.
And finally and briefly, Scott, in the presidential tweet department, the president had tweeted a threat, it sounds like, that he would order FEMA to stop funding recovery efforts after California wildfires. What was the message there?
Yeah, the president is upset with the new governor, Gavin Newsom, and California officials for not properly, in his words, managing the forests in California. He believes that's the reason why you've seen, this breakout of serious California wildfires, including the one up in Paradise, California, that claimed 85 lives. Democrats, of course, are pointing to climate change and things like drought as the main culprit for this, for these types of fires. But the president, according to one Republican congressman who represents that area, said the president is not doing a good job, in terms of explaining the issue. He's conflating land management issues with FEMA funds, by threatening to take away FEMA funds. And this congressman, Doug LaMalfa, told me today that he really was disappointed in the president for threatening to punish people who have just really lost their homes and their livelihoods as a result of this very bad wildfire.
We'll leave it there for now. Scott, thanks as always for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Scott Wong. He's a senior staff writer at The Hill. He focuses on covering House leadership there. He was with us for a look at the latest in national politics, including where things stand in ending the partial government shutdown.